to deal with the consciousness that we're going to become old and unhealthy. So how we deal with the problem of old age? Should we just disregard it and put it under the carpet and just wait? You know, in the meantime, we can enjoy life a little bit. The idea of putting the old age under the carpet is not very wise, because if we spend the days of our youth just for enjoyment, what are we going to do when we are old? Because you see, our consciousness, the way we see life, the way we live, it depends from what we do. So if we spend the young age just trying to enjoy, when we get old, we still want to enjoy. The problem is that when we are young, we want to enjoy, and sometimes we have success, we can enjoy. In old age, it just doesn't work anymore, the body just can't do it. But the mind, it is always the same. It's the same when we are 20, 30 years old, we're very strong, we could do anything. So it is like a ghostly situation when somebody has the same desires of a person. Well, you know what is a ghost? A ghost is an entity which is a person like us, but doesn't have a gross body. You know, it doesn't have flesh, just a subtle entity. We also have a subtle entity. We are made of subtle body and a gross body, and we satisfy the desire of the subtle body through the gross body. But try to think a moment of having a subtle body and not having a gross body. You are thirsty, but you don't have a body to drink. You are hungry, you don't have a body to eat. You have a sensation like your back itches if you don't have a hand to pacify your necessity. Isn't that a hellish situation? Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. You know, it is hellish. So old age is a little bit like that. You had the same desire, even more than when you are young, but you don't have the body to satisfy. You want to eat, but you cannot eat much because after you feel bad. You know, you want to have sex, but it just doesn't work. You know, you cannot do much. And you want to do, and you want to be and have some good time with people, and all your friends of your age, they are all just lamenting from the day, from the morning to the evening. The young people, they don't know what to do with you. You know, you are an old man. And and young people, they want to stay with their friend, you know, with you. Just like I remember my son, then when he became 10, 11, just didn't want to be with me anymore. He would just go out. And every time I wanted to be with him, he said, "I'm sorry, you know, Peter, I got to go." So this is the situation. So it is wise to spend our life just for merriment, when this merriment is going to end, or maybe not. Maybe we should care for a type of life that we can enjoy as young men or as an old man. There is such a life. It's not just philosophy. It's not just abstract ideas. There is such a life that does not depend on the body. It's this is called a spiritual life. Doesn't matter where you are, if you're young, if you're old, if you are healthy or you are unhealthy, you are always satisfied and and happy.
So like your soul keeping young?
The body will get old, but you don't care really, because your spiritual life does not depend on the body. You get your happiness or your satisfaction on things that do not need a body. Just like chanting Hare Krishna. I became a devotee when I was 18. So I was chanting Hare Krishna very, physically, dancing, and now I can't do it anymore, After 5 minutes I get to sit down. But I can't chant Hare Krishna. I cannot chant Hare Krishna physically, but I can chant Hare Krishna. And when I was young, I could go in Sankirtan, which means distributing books. I would have 50, 60 big books in my bag. I was very strong. Now I can't, I can't do it anymore. So, but still, I can give books to people. I can explain books to people. In other words, the body is not for a spiritual life a necessary vehicle anymore. Even if you are very, very old and sick, you are on your bed, you can't move, or you cannot even speak, then you can chant Hare Krishna in your mind. And you'll see the wonderful effect it will give to you. You'll feel so completely satisfied and helped, and in such a helpless condition. You are completely satisfied. Spiritual life does not depend on the body. So while we are young and we are strong, better we use this physical energy that we have to facilitate our spiritual advancement in such a way that when we be old, we not have any problems in our discipline, in our spiritual practices. Because it is true that if we act physically, then we can get some benefit more. Just like dancing a kirtan or going out and preaching and all these things are very good for spiritual. We should do that. But then, so we should not waste young age to just for going, make sports and gratify our senses. This is a very unwise proposition. So although we should not live into a state of paranoia for old age, this is one extreme, we should not go in the other extreme thinking that, everything is okay, don't worry, when I will be old I will think to spiritual life, just like Christians. This is what they say. Oh, now I'm young and I enjoy. When I will be old, then I will think to God. Then who guarantees you that when you are old, you will be able to think to God? When you are sick, unless you have been trained in spiritual principle, it's not easy to focus. It's not easy to understand philosophy. It's not easy to chant Hare Krishna. So when you are old, you can chant Hare Krishna, but you will be trained to chant Hare Krishna under all difficult circumstances. And this is called Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is a discipline. Just like if you want muscles, you have to go to a gym. Then you exercise and your muscles grows up gradually. If you don't go to the gym, then in one day that you need physical strength, you cannot pretend it because you haven't done anything to develop it. So in the same way, if you think, now I'm young, I will enjoy. When I will be old, I will think to Krishna and all of those things. But when you are old, it will be more difficult. Better you begin at young age. There was this great devotee of Vishnu, whose first of all, is there anyone who has been here for the first time? That this is the first time at the temple? You have been here, but you know our temples or not? It's just first time, in absolute. And yourself? It's not the first time.
You
came here. And yourself, sir?
It's the second time.
Well,
or third time. Second time.
Okay, welcome to all of you. First, second, third time. Your coming here very much appreciated. So, there was this devotee whose name was Prahlad Maharaj. He was like 4 or 5 years old, very young boy. He was a kid. And he was very special because while all the kids of his age, they were playing sports, etc., he would study the scripture, he would go to the guru to learn, he would do all these kind of things. And what his friends were telling him was, let's play now, you know, we are five, you know, now let's play, and then when we, you know, he will tell them, now you want to play. When you will be 15, then you will go looking for girls. At 20 years old, you will get married, and you have to work from the day to night just to maintain your family. When you are 40, you have to think to the future of your sons. When you are 60, you begin to have problems, and you know, now I have to solve these problems of mine, then I will start chanting Hare Krishna. When you will be 8, you will be completely out of your mind. You will not be able. This is Prahlad Maharaj was telling his friends that the time to begin Krishna consciousness is now. Whatever age, what's going on with these papers? What do you want to do? What your aim?
Nothing.
Nothing, just playing with you. Okay. Alright, so it's now. If you come to the temple when you are 5 years old, then you should begin at 5 years old. If you arrive to the temple at 10, then you should begin at 10. Whatever, any time you arrive, then you should begin immediately, right away. So Krishna consciousness is a wonderful, is the most democratic thing that you can imagine, because there is no such a thing as a woman and man and age or social status, if you are rich, if you are poor, it just doesn't matter. We are all the same in front of God, in front of Krishna, and so He will accept us if we not if we are intelligent, or if you are rich, if you're giving money, if you're giving this and that. That's really secondary. You give to Krishna what you want or what you have, but at the end, Krishna will appreciate how you will give Him things. That is called bhakti. Just the other day, 2 days ago, was my birthday, and my wife was trying to find something to give me because she couldn't find. At the end, she bought me something that was really no use. So I said, no, change it. No, I want to give you a yeah, but you know, I already received the boon because you already gave me the gift. Just by knowing that you wanted me to give a gift, I'm already satisfied. And you know, after we go somewhere else some other day, and we find the thing that you want to give it to me. So this is love. Love is trying to make somebody happy. So we had to try to advance spiritually by making Krishna happy with us. This is called bhakti. So, and when is the time to begin bhakti? Now, today. So this is bhakti yoga. Any other question? I appreciate your intervention. If you have any question, please. We are here to answer to your questions.
So Krishna is all about dancing.
Sorry?
Krishna is all about dancing and attraction.
It's not. No, Krishna is not about dancing. The dancing is one of the one of the instruments. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome. Is this your first time?
No, this is my third time I've been.
Oh, welcome.
Yes, I have family following.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so I'm sorry we're late. We got lost on the way.
If you prefer, sit down on the chair. Just make yourself at home. This is your home.
Thank you.
All right. Next question. Thank you very much. It's so dancing is one instrument for understanding Krishna, understanding Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, welcome. Sir and ma'am, if you prefer to sit down in a chair, please. We have a second chair there. Otherwise, we can find some other chair. Do you prefer to sit down on the chair?
Se puede sentar en la silla o en la
silla. Bienvenidos. Habla inglés.
A little bit.
Little bit. Okay. Usted habla inglés, ¿entiende? Yo hablo español también. Mi inglés es un poco mejor que mi español, pero estamos en San Antonio y tenemos que hablar en inglés. Okay, we just got a question from this gentleman, and he was saying if Krishna or the process of attaining God, Krishna, is about dancing. So, so just like, let's say that we have, you have a family, just like a very nice family just came in. We have a husband, wife, and two children, or one?
One. My son had
a master. So we have a family of four. So obviously there must be some love going in a family between father and son, etc., etc. So what is the thing that keeps the family, you know, all families, not just this family, any family, together? What is the most important thing? It's love, isn't it? It's mutual appreciation of everyone. The brother will appreciate the sister and vice versa, and love, basically. She cooks and he works and he's my family and he studies. I try not to make his father wasting his money, so he tries to be successful at schools or at work, whatever it is. It's basic. If you think it deeply, in love is what keeps together all families. So how this love is manifest and how can be kept, how can remain and actually can increase? By acts of love, you know. If he behaves nicely, then this love is increased. If he misbehaves, the love, you know, goes down a little bit. So now, let's take this this example, and let's transfer it to God. Okay. So, what is the main relationship between God and His sons? If you read all scriptures, all religious scriptures, but also philosophies, also philosophers, theistic philosophers, you find that there is a relationship of love between God and His devotees, all of us. There are two types of devotees in this world. Part of population knows or remember that they have a relationship with God. The other part of population, they forgot it, and they think to be atheistic, so they say God does not exist, or they follow false religions, or so many things. But between the devotees and God and Krishna, the main relationship is love. So how can we keep this love? How can we increase it? By acts of devotion. For instance, when a devotee comes to the temple and brings something, a flower, some water, a donation, he puts some money there so we can keep our small temple. Actually, we have plans for a big temple one day, etc. You know, does God actually need our money or our flower, or that we come and clean the temple? God does not need it. Otherwise, what God is that? God is that as everything. God does not need our money, but we need to give the money to God, because this is a donation. This is a something, is an act of love, you know. And this action that we do, Krishna appreciates, and the love becomes more solid between us. So the chanting also. So why we need to chant? Because by chanting, we remember Krishna, and it is an artistic form of offering something to God. Just like the father is very happy if he sees his sons chanting, and because chanting gives a nice atmosphere, and dancing also. The father thinks, "Oh, my sons are very happy. My children very happy because they dance. It is very nice." What a father doesn't like is bad things, like I don't know what, you know, running, speeding with the cars, risking life, or taking drugs, or drinking, or smoking. These kind of things, our father, there is no father in the world that like them. They should do these things. So the same with God, the same with Krishna. Krishna wants us to do things that elevate our soul, that elevate our the level, our personality, and does not want us to do things that will harm us, like smoking, like drinking alcohol, or eating meat also. We are vegetarians because it's not good to kill animals. It's not meat. What is the need of eating animals? You know, you are killing somebody for what? You are saying, well, you know, eating meat is necessary for our health. Well, look at me, you know. I'm fat, and I've not been eating meat since I was 17. Now I'm 57, so it's 4 years not eating meat, and I come totally okay. So all these things that should be avoided. And spiritual life is about trying to understand Krishna by giving him things that he likes. And dancing is one of this. So it's not the end, but it's a means. Any question?
What is life?
Life. You know, my Krishna, you're welcome. Okay, so see my hand. Look at my hand, it moves. So the movement, what is the movement? Movement is a characteristic or a capacity of life. If there was no life in the hand, it won't move. So the movement is not life in itself, but it's one characteristic or one manifestation of life. Okay? So where life comes from? So let's say that I cut off my hand. Now it moves, I cut it off, it doesn't move anymore. So, what does it mean? It means that life was not in the hand. Some, in a way or another, life would come, would arrive to the hand. But it was not in the hand. Because if I cut it off, no life. And look at my body. If I move it, you see? Because you know that cloth cannot move. You say, if it moves, it's because something is inside that makes it move. It. Okay? I take away my hand, doesn't move anymore. So life, what is life? Life is not in matter. This body is made of matter. And this cloth is made of matter. But life is a characteristic of the soul. So much so that the spiritual soul is called jiva. Jiva is a Sanskrit word, means living, the living. So this body is not alive, never was alive. It's just a machine. Just like you enter in your car, the car moves, But it doesn't move because it's alive. It moves because you are inside, you makes it moving. It's a mechanical movement. So the same type of movement is in this body. It's just a mechanical movement. What it makes this body moving is the soul who is inside. The soul is originally part of a world that is called Paraprakriti, which means the superior energy. It's a spiritual world. Everything in the spiritual world is alive, and everything that is in this world is dead. It's inert, not moving matter. This matter moves only when there is the jiva inside. Look, the harmonium was moving and playing a few minutes ago, now it's not playing anymore. Why? Because I'm not there anymore, I'm not making moving. So what is birth? Birth is when the body takes life. No, it is not. Birth is when one soul enters into a body and makes it moving, makes it look like if it is alive. What is death? Death is a non-existing occurrence. Non-existing. Because the body never lived, because it's just a machine. And the soul never dies, never takes birth and never dies. The soul enters into a body, comes out of the body. So it never dies. So death is something that does not exist. It's just a separation between the soul and the body, when the two separates. And everybody is crying and so much when somebody... Everybody will die. You know it already. There's no need to cry and be desperate when someone... You know that will die. Sure. In 50 years, maybe more, 80 years, 90 years, let's say 100 years, nobody who is alive in this planet right now will be alive. Everybody will be gone. 6 billion people. Everybody will be dead in 100 years. In 100 years, we'll have completely new different faces and names, and situations and everything. So this life or these situations in the material world are not important, because they will go away just like they came. 20 years ago, we didn't, or 30 or 40, whatever, we didn't have a wife. And in a few years, she would be gone. Or the husband, or the daughter, they would be gone. So Krishna consciousness movement is that movement that teaches spiritual reality. What is this world? Where we come from? What we should do? And where we are going, or where we are supposed to go, where actually we want to go. Krishna consciousness as movement. These temples are like schools. Here is very small, but we have temples, very big temples all over the world, where we teach people how to be happy, how to change their life in such a way that we don't experience the miseries of life. So this is life.
Is the aim of our life?
The aim of life is to attain everything you want. For instance, if you cross the street, and a car is coming, what do you do? You just wait for the car to hit you? No, you move. Why? Because you don't want to suffer, you don't want to die. You don't want that. So you don't want to die. As opposite, what do you want? You want to be happy. So the aim of life is becoming happy. You don't want to die, so the aim of life is to be eternal. You don't want to be in ignorance. The knowledge is something very important. Look, you are all listening to me. And every day we listen to television and to the radio and we look around. What is this whole look, continuously looking around and trying to gather knowledge. Knowledge is very important. So you want knowledge. Aim of life is to have perfect knowledge. So aim of life is to be eternal, to be perfectly happy, to have full knowledge. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Ananda means happiness. And Chit means knowledge. And Sat. Sat means to be in Sanskrit. Sat means to be eternally. Aim of life is to get these things. But you don't get it in the material world. You have to develop your spiritual life so that you can live in the spiritual world. You, the same personality now is speaking or listening or looking or doing things, the same personality. You will be again one day in the spiritual world full of knowledge, happiness, and eternity. This is the aim of life. Aim of life is not to make money, is not to make a family, is not to try to be happy or to be successful, to become a big man, to become famous, to become... This is nothing. This is just like the Bhagavad Gita says. A wise man, a sage, sees everything in this material world, even the most precious thing in this material world, useless as a pebble, because he knows, the sage knows, that this is useless. Just like when you are in a train, you enter in a train, you don't get attached to the compartment or the seat of the train, because you get away. So the same way, you don't get attached, you shouldn't get attached to the things of this world, because they will go away. And we have many books, and these books, the spiritual world is described in details, and also the discipline to attain the spiritual world is also explained in details. It's a science. This philosophy is vast. We can talk for days, for years, and never repeat the same thing. It's so vast, and we had to learn it. So please continue to make these nice questions. There are no stupid questions. The only stupid thing is to have questions and not to make it. That is very stupid.
Why any soul get birth second time? Is there any specific thing we need to achieve from our life, maybe towards spiritual level or to reach God?
We take a birth because we have desires which are unnatural for the soul. When the soul is pure, then it desires only things pertaining to his own nature, spiritual things. But when the soul is not pure, actually the soul can never be impure, but when the soul is covered by impure element, then it starts to desire things which are unnatural. And Krishna is so kind that he tells us, okay, you want things which are not present in the spiritual world, you don't want to love me, you don't want to be loved by me, okay, then I create a material world so that you can have full experience of being separated by me. This is a world of the atheistics, of demons also, people who are against God, or people who don't want to have God in their lives. So this world, this is how this world is, that he's present but it's not visible. So you can have your vacation, your foolish vacation, thinking that yes, I can live without God. But since you are living in a very unnatural situation, you can never be happy. Just like if you take a fish out of the water, then you can give the fish a big bank account and you give it to family, you know, a sheep fish or little fishes, you know, and a house and everything. Then, but he continuously, how you say that in English? That, yeah, like this? How say that in English? When a fish trying to breathe but doesn't breathe.
And he's gasping?
It's gasping. It's gasping, yes. And the fish keeps gasping. And the fish itself or everyone around him thinks, oh, he's gasping because he needs more money. Or maybe he needs a more beautiful she fish, a more beautiful a companion. Or maybe he needs to be more powerful. He has to become the temple, the president of the United States. You know. But he keeps gasping. Why? Because he's a fish. He needs the water. He's in a natural situation. All those things that he gets that's completely useless for him. It's useless because he only needs to be back in the sea. And you take the fish, you put it back in the sea, he's happy. Without bank account, without family, without money, without fame, without anything, but he's happy because he's living in a natural way. This is the same situation we have in this world. The people is trying to get material things, they're never happy. Never. The more money, the more fame, the more power you have, the more miserable you become. Why is that? You know why the poor are happier than the rich people in general? Because the poor people at least have the illusion that they think, I'm not happy because I need to become rich. But the rich, they don't even have this illusion. They don't even have this goal because they're already rich. And they don't know how to justify this feeling of being dissatisfied. They don't know because they have everything. But the poor people think, oh, I'm dissatisfied because I need money, I need this, I need that. When I will have a big house, when I will have a nice car, then I will be happy. So, the soul, when it becomes covered by illusion, which is called Maya, Maya in Sanskrit, Ma is a negation, means not. Ya means this. Maya means not this. Means something that is not. So if you think, this is my body, Maya. This is not so. When you say, oh, I'm looking a very nice form, I would like to get it. Maya, this is not. Oh, now I need anything. Maya, this is not. This is false. And the soul comes in this material world and it starts to identify with the body, with the situation. Sometimes he gets a body in India and he thinks, oh, I'm Indian. Sometimes take a body in America and he thinks, oh, I'm American. And then he leaves the body and goes to Australia and now I'm Australian. But are you Indian, are you American, or are you Australian? It's the same person that takes different bodies. He was not any of these three. The soul was never Indian, never American, never Australian. The soul was just part of the spiritual world. When the soul becomes conscious of the falsity of the life as it's leading, and then he decides intensely spiritual life, which is called Shraddha in Sanskrit. Shraddha means intense desire to get knowledge, perfect knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Then Krishna, who is present in the heart, giving the opportunity. First the devotees, then the guru, and then initiation, and then more, etc. There is a whole process that leads to complete liberation of the soul from the body. Any more?
If there are no questions,
we're going to chant more. El Prasada, ¿qué punto está el Prasada?
It's ready.
It's ready, Prasada. So we can chant and after we distribute Prasada. Again, thank you very much for coming and for attention and nice questions. And today was a special Sunday because we had a program. We have a program which is going on right now down the mountain. So many of our devotees are down there. But thank you for coming. All right, so now we are going to chant. And I would request you to please follow the time by clapping the hand and by chanting. First, the person who is leading the chanting, it has to be let alone to chant. And then we all answer. But try to chant and try to put some energy in the chanting. Hare Krishna. There is anybody who doesn't know the mantra, everybody knows the mantra, of course. It's up there. Okay, Prabhu, if you want to be the Kirtan.